Good morning. I will be reading Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. It's on page 1818 in your Bible in the pew if you'd like to follow along. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and domination, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is a word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What is the last thing I was going to ask? And the kids are invited to children's church. You're also invited to stay here, if you please.
You mean I can't go with the kids? I can't be a kid at heart?
You can, You could be a leader, maybe. How's that?
Gotcha. Very good. Just had to add a little.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's pray as we come to the Word together. Mighty God, thank you for your words to us, words to your church, words to your people, preserved generation after generation. We thank you for your Spirit who is alive and active in our lives, in your word, in your church. We pray, Lord, as we open your word together, that the words of my mouth and the meditations and the thoughts of every one of our hearts, that would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Dreaming dynamite. It's a really cool graphic, I thought. It's kind of dynamite in a thought bubble. It's very on the nose, but I like it. Dreaming with dynamite. So we are in this series called Dream Again that began early on in November and is sort of coming to a conclusion today, but really the concept will continue to live on throughout the following year. But we're trying to listen to the dreams that God has given us for our church. That's the purpose of the Dream Again workshop that we had, and the purpose of what we're trying to accomplish as a church today. We're trying to live into and lean into the dreams that God has for us. And so we gathered together and we all did this, those of us who were a part of the workshop did this exercise. The word eluded me for a second there. This exercise where we visualized, if everything went the way we would like it, what would Brent look like in 5 years? And it was fascinating for people to write those down and read them aloud to one another. The imagination, the creativity that God has put in each one of us to see where God would take us. But today I want to talk about the fact that those dreams are not just, whatever. They're not just, okay, we did that, now it's over. I want to talk about the fact that these dreams are powerful. Powerful dreams. That God has given us dreams of power. He's given his church dreams of power. He's given us dreams that, well, God has chosen the church to spread his good news, his gospel, to the ends of the earth. So why wouldn't he give us power for doing that? The scripture that Kathy read for us talks about that power of God being the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that's a lot of power. The idea of conquering death is a fascinating one, right? It's a fascinating idea for us. It's a life-changing one for us, but even across culture and pop culture, the idea of death not being the end is one that we like to explore. Filmmakers, novelists love to incorporate this idea of, well, what if this person died and then they came back, right? And everybody thinks that they're dead, but they're really not dead. Or they actually are dead, but they come back to life, right? So we all know that, well, we don't all know this, but if you ever spent any time watching soap operas, you know that this is, yes, this is what keeps them going for decade after decade after decade. The fact that all these people, even the ones who die, are invincible, and they will come back once their contract is renewed, and they get it renegotiated, right? This is the way things work. But I just want to give a few examples from pop culture. This one's kind of a cheating one, but it's my favorite movie. Doc Brown, you watch him shot at the early, I'm sorry, there are spoilers, but I've chosen films that I think have a long enough shelf life that it's not going to ruin anything for you. If you haven't seen any of these movies yet, I'm sorry. But in the early portion of Back to the Future, we see Doc Brown, Dr. Emmett Brown, shot several times. And it appears that his life is over, but of course this movie is about time travel, and so he gets some intel so that when we come back to the end of the movie, he has found himself a bulletproof vest. Home! Kids movie. Anybody seen this one? All right, good. Those of you with little kids have seen it, that's it. This little purple dude, there's a scene towards the end of the movie which feels a little bit like emotional manipulation, but that's kind of what movies do, right? Where this giant machine crushes him, and you're like, oh, and then she's making that face, and then the giant machine goes in reverse, and it finds that he's just totally fine underneath this thing that looked like it crushed him, and you're supposed to be crying and everything. And so he was on the brink of death, but he didn't actually die. But what was once assumed to be lost is found. He finds life. How about this one? Tangled, anybody see this one? Again, just people with kids? No, we've got some Disney fans in the house. Flynn, thank you.
Or Eugene.
Yes, indeed. Faces a dramatic end, but, and is killed by the bad guy, bad girl, bad woman, bad old
witch,
yes. But thanks to the healing powers of Rapunzel's hair, Rapunzel cuts her hair off at the end of the movie. All that beautiful blonde hair. Goes blonde, goes with a nice crop, pixie cut. It's kind of, you know, it's cool. It works for her. But it's no longer going to let people up into that tower. But the hair glows, and it brings a dead Flynn Rider back to life. We don't want it to be the end. Even when somebody actually dies in a movie, we hold out hope that, oh, it's not actually over. He's not actually dead. The Matrix. Anybody seen this one? Okay, a few. Yeah. This has been out for a long time now, right? Okay, yeah. Neo dies in a simulation, which means he dies in real life, which this is real life. It's really a beautiful life. It's not great. But Trinity, there's so much biblical symbolism in the Matrix, it's not even funny. But the girl's name is Trinity. She kisses Neo, the one, the chosen one, and brings him back to life. And of course, the most classic example, Gandalf the Grey, who meets his end at the hands of the Balrog in the pit of Mount Doom. No, he's not in the pit of Mount Doom. Where is he? Anybody know? Mines of Moria. There we go. Mount Doom is not, that's not until the very end of the story. Okay. Thank you, Chris. And the Two Towers, he comes back as Gandalf the White. And it's still the same actor, same guy, but he is new and renewed. And this is perhaps the most clearly reflective of the biblical idea of resurrection. He comes back, he is recognizable, but he is different. He's no longer Gandalf the Grey, he is now Gandalf the White. But the power to raise the dead is fascinating. I could have come up with 100 other examples where films kill off characters or you think that they're dead and then they come back, because the idea of defeating death is the most compelling, powerful trick, idea, concept that we can think of. Because death is such a great mystery, right? To every one of us. We don't know what it is until it happens, right? We know what we've read about it, we know it. And then, you know, once it happens, it's hard to tell anybody around here about what it's like, right? And, you know, people are fascinated with trying to connect with the dead and all these sort of things. But the power to raise the dead is something we're fascinated by, captivated by the possibilities. So, the centerpiece of our Christian hope is this, that God the Father raised his son Jesus from the dead. That Jesus Christ died. And not only just died a regular death, died an unjust death, capital punishment. He was killed by the state, by the empire of Rome. And that when he faced that death, he did so not just for his own sake, but because he loved, because he loves this world, and because he loves the people that he has created. Right? This is why Jesus dies. It is the centerpiece of our hope. And I would argue that the purest power that we know is this, that a benevolent, a good, loving God, the benevolent power of God is used to create life from death. The benevolent power of God is used to create life from death. When we think about power in our world today, often we think about it in terms of how much destruction something can cause, right? We think about nuclear weapons. We consider them powerful. Why? Because we believe they can take out an entire continent, or a section of a continent, right? This is why we are afraid, because of the power of weapons. People who are powerful can wreak all sort of havoc on other people's lives. As we watch the news, more and more people, men often, mostly, almost exclusively, men of power, are their acts of abuse towards women, of assault towards women, are being brought to light because, what? Their power, all we see is the glitz and the glamour and money, but their power is being used for destruction. Destructive behavior. But the greatest power that there is not the power to destroy. The greatest power there is the power of good, the power of light and life, and the power that can take something as final as death and reverse it. That is the power of God. Right? That moment when you're watching a movie and somebody dies and you really do, the first time you see it, when you really do think that it's over and that there's no hope, Han Solo is frozen in carbonite. Surely he can't come back from that. Whatever that moment is where we really feel that it is hopeless, those movies work because they get us to believe that they're really dead, that they're really gone. And then, at the turn, we realize, oh, there is still hope. Now that is what Jesus has done for not movies, not fiction, but for the actual world that we live in. He's taken every one of these situations where somebody faces death and said, oh, no, it's not over. It doesn't have to be over. No, there is life to come. And Jesus was the perfect example of that. The power to reverse death, to reverse suffering, to reverse destruction, that is the power that is so great that we actually can't even comprehend it. All we can really think about is how powerful destruction is. The benevolent power of God used to create life from death is the purest form of power that we know. And the word for power in the Greek is the word dunamis, which is where we get our English word. Anybody have a guess? Dynamite. I've said this before, so Sig pays attention to all my sermons, so that's why I knew that answer. Dynamite. So when I say that we're dreaming with dynamite, I say that we are dreaming with the power of God behind us.
That's cool.
Now, dynamite is one of those things that we think of as destructive, right? Because, well, it certainly has that capability. But the power of God, I need to remind you, is the benevolent power that creates life out of death. Okay. Next section. Verse 18. Well, it says at the very end of verse 19, his incomparably great power is for us who believe. So those of us who believe have somehow have access to this incomparably great power of God. This dynamite, this fuel, this benevolent power that can change the world. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That purest form of power that God has demonstrated by raising Jesus from the dead is the same power that is at work in you and I. And that's a lot of power. And with great power comes
great responsibility.
Amen. All the Spider-Man fans out there. With great power comes great responsibility. And for us, I'm just going to go through this quickly. That power is activated through these words that we have, starting in verse 17. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. So this power of God gives us wisdom and revelation. The power of God gives us knowledge and wisdom about God. We have this power, this life-giving power that gives us wisdom to know God better. This power also, in verse 18, enlightens, opens the eyes of our heart that we may be enlightened. So again, knowledge, revelation, wisdom, this power gives us knowing God. Knowing God in our heads, knowing God in our hearts. And hope. That you may know the hope to which he has called you. The power of God gives us hope. Because we have seen the power of God already demonstrated in the world, we can have hope that that power is still at work. That power will not go away in our case. No, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's going to raise you and I from the dead. We have hope of a glorious inheritance. I don't know what that's going to look like. The shorthand that we call it is heaven, but I think we underestimate how great heaven is going to be. We think of it in terms of mansions and possessions and harps and angels. I think heaven, all things put in the right place, is going to be way more fun than that. At least, it's, I don't know. Not my idea of fun, playing harp all day. Maybe it is for you if you've always wanted to be a great harpist. But here's the thing about the power of God. Even though it is the most powerful thing that we can fathom or imagine, it's often not all that impressive. The power of God can often sneak into our lives and we don't even see it. We don't even notice it. It's that subtle sometimes that we don't even perceive that the power of God is at work or upon us. How many know this to be true? That sometimes when God is at work in your life, the most fully, at the time, you don't even notice it at all. It's like next week or next month or next year, you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, God was right there with me. God's power sneaks into our lives often unnoticed. Shout out to U.S. Gymnastics fans. Michaela Maroney. This is her at the medal ceremony. She was not impressed because she should have won gold, but she didn't. And so her face became a meme. But this is the reality of life. The many of the mighty acts of God are initially not all that impressive. Let's think about the resurrection of Jesus. One of the greatest miracles of all time. Do we agree? Mm-hmm. Jesus rising from the dead. Okay. Jesus rises from the dead. Mary thinks he's a gardener. Whoa! The mighty power of God has given us a gardener. Gardeners are not bad. Gardeners can be very impressive. But when we think of power in terms of our brains, the first thing I don't think of is a gardener, right? Cleopas and his friend walked 7 miles alongside Jesus. 7 miles, that's a long way to walk right alongside Jesus. And guess what? They didn't even know it was him. That's how unimpressive Jesus was. The risen, resurrected Jesus, who had conquered sin, death, and the devil just hours before, walking around in flesh and blood, and people don't even recognize him. They think he's a gardener. They think he's just a wise man walking around. Can you fathom? The power of God, the very power of God, the most powerful thing has just happened hours ago, and the people closest to him don't even see it, don't even recognize it. Have you ever thought about that? It's kind of a trip. Wow. I mean, if I had just risen from the dead, I'd make sure everybody knew about it. Right? Let's announce this thing with trumpets so nobody gets the wrong idea here, right? Who's the boss? Oh, yeah. It's the guy who you saw die and 3 days later rose from the dead. I mean, that's pretty powerful stuff. You could flaunt that a little bit, but Jesus, no, isn't trying to be impressive, even with the most impressive thing that he did. Eugene Peterson tells a story. He's a pastor of many, many, many years, several decades of pastoring life. He tells a story that he got from a poet friend of his who wrote this poem about Monadnock Mountain in New Hampshire. Anybody ever been to New Hampshire or Monadnock Mountain? If Marlene was here, she'd be raising her hand, but she's not. Monadnock Mountain is in New Hampshire. And this poet, Robert Siegel, was looking for it. Driving around, I think it was with his wife. Driving around looking for Monadnock Mountain. They see all these signs, Monadnock Realty, Monadnock Cafe, Monadnock everything, and they drive up and down, the road, and they're like looking, and they're like, oh, maybe that's it? They're like sitting there like, oh, maybe that's Monadnock Mountain. Maybe it's over there, maybe it's over here. Well, their conclusion was that they were on it. That it was below their feet. It wasn't spectacular because, well, guess what? It was right underneath their feet. And of course, maybe Monadnock Mountain isn't the most spectacular mountain that there is. But they didn't even see it. Why didn't they see it? Because they were standing on it. And so often that is true with the power of God in our lives. We're standing on it. It is in our lives. It is in our bones. It is at work within us. And we don't even see it. Because it's right there. It's like fish and water. What fish knows what water is? Probably not very many, because they don't know what life is without it. We often do not know what life without the power of God is, because it's right there. It's easy to miss the spectacular view when you're standing on the mountain. So, being on the mountain, dreaming again may have us anticipating the spectacular. We do a workshop. There's promises made. And, you know, maybe you've been through this cycle several times where you've done workshops and tried to change things, and you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then, like, after the third cycle and nothing changes all that significantly, you're like, oh, well, it's just a fine thing. Maybe the youthful idealism is gone. So maybe you're not anticipating the spectacular, but maybe you are. Maybe you're just thinking, oh, my gosh, everything's going to change. Maybe. Probably don't want everything to change. Things are going to be great. There's going to be growth. There's going to be excitement. There's going to be life and vitality. We may be anticipating the spectacular, but I don't want us to forget that the most spectacular mountain may be right under our feet. The most spectacular mountain in the whole range may be right under our feet. And as we look around, we can appreciate the view. We can appreciate what we're seeing all around us. But let's not forget to look down and see what God is doing in and through each and every person in this room right here already. How the Holy Spirit is already working in each one of your lives. How I've already heard stories of how people's Thanksgivings last week were transformed by inviting new people into their space. Right? Why? Because that's the mighty power of God at work right underneath our feet. The most spectacular mountain may go unnoticed because we just haven't seen it. When you go to a range of mountains, there's a few different things you can do. You can try to get to the highest mountain so you can see everything from the top of the world. Or you can get to like a little bit less tall mountain so you can look up at the majesty of the tallest mountain nearby. Right? Or if you go to the Grand Canyon, you're just like looking down into a hole. Either way, it's majestic. The camera may not be able to pick up all the beauty that you see. Anybody been to Rocky Mountains? Yeah. It's a pretty spectacular, intimidating thing. Driving through the mountains takes some getting used to. I know I have like dreams to driving through the mountains anytime I go to Colorado because it's like terrifying. It's really fun, but like I have a really hard time sleeping when I'm there because of all the stress that it takes on my body to know that. Well, a mistake when I'm driving around Lansing may get me to the shoulder, you know, off the. But a mistake in Colorado might mean flying off the edge of a mountain into an abyss. There's something about that that is just unfathomable. The power of God is right under our feet, right? This is a metaphor. The power of God can be right under our feet. And it may be scary. And maybe all we need to do is realize it. Open our eyes a little bit to how awesome that power under our feet is. Coffee good. So that we stay on the correct path. Coffee good. So that we walk according to the vision of God. So that we don't go wandering off the edge of the mountain into the abyss. Right? But more importantly, the goodness, the power, the majesty of God isn't trying to impress us. It's not trying to impress us. God isn't trying to impress me. If he wanted to impress me, he could do it. And he has impressed me, actually. Not because he was trying, not trying to show off. Well, maybe he was showing off when he created some of the creatures that we see on this planet. Like a parakeet, that might have been showing off a little bit. The power of God is flowing through our veins and through our bones. May we not miss it. Maybe not forget it. Maybe not look right past it because it's right in front of our face or right under our feet. May the power of God course through our veins, and may we dream together with dynamite, the dynamite power of the God who raised Jesus from the dead. Let's pray. Mighty God, thank you for your work in our lives. For your strength, for your power. For a power that is not a force of destruction, but a force of good. A force of benevolence, a force of life. Turning death on its ugly head. And bringing life where there was none. God, continue to breathe life into each one of us, your beloved. Continue to breathe your life into us together as your beloved church. It's in the strong name.